Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Brian. Hello, David.
Hey, Brian. How's it going today, man?
It's going. See, this podcast has been... when did the first Dune movie come out? 2 years ago? A year? How? 3 years?
Yeah.
I don't know when it came out.
Came out a while
ago. Was it during COVID? Was it before COVID?
Like 2020 or 2021?
We should have done research before I just started talking about stuff. But yeah, since we first saw that Dune movie, man, we've been waiting for that second one. And here we are! I got the three sandworms with me! You probably know the names of each one.
See, that's Shai Hulud, and then that's Shai Hulud, and then that's also Shai Hulud.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, there. We got that figured out.
We got the three Shai Huluds.
Yeah, so if it isn't obvious already, I'm still not good with all these. I don't think anybody's good with these names. I really think you're the only person I've ever talked to that's I've talked to about Dune, where they're like, yeah, I know the names.
Yeah, Lisan El Gaib, the Kwisatz Haderach.
Of Bene course. Gesserit.
Yeah.
How could we forget them?
How could you forget them? You know, so, like we normally do, Brian, what would you go ahead and rate this ye olde film before we start getting to the meat and potatoes? Also, spoilers galore, because that's how we roll. Also, book spoilers, because I'll probably bring book stuff up too. Just so you know.
Spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil anything from the first Dune. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so this is a sci-fi thing, so I'm going to have to dock it down like 4 points. No. I'm going to give this like a...
Does it count as sci-fi if there aren't computers?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. What constitutes a sci-fi? This goes back to like the roguelike thing where everything's a roguelike. I like this movie better than the first one. I don't know what I rated the first one, but I'm gonna go with a 9 on Dune 2. This was I think a step up in everything. There was sometimes the story. It felt like I wasn't getting enough out of the story, but like every scene felt like there was like tension. It's like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? If you didn't know what's gonna happen, I would imagine there's more tension. But like. You and I, with anybody else who read the book, kind of knew what was going to happen. But you could cut the tension with a knife. That was my biggest takeaway from the movie. David, what's your rating?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9 also. I may have rated it the first movie lower. I don't really remember. It's been a while. And I remember having a lot more criticisms of the first. And pretty much all my criticisms were nitpicks.
Well, I remember you being worried that you couldn't rate this one as high, or you didn't like this one as much because we weren't like 100% sure we were going to get an ending to it.
There
was something like that. I do
qualifiers like that because I mean, like if we're not getting the second half of this thing, I would probably rated it lower than. But the
movie sucked.
No, it was a great movie. They were both fantastic films. These are the most digestible versions of Dune non-Dune fans, which makes them really, really good for people who don't know as much about Dune as, you know, I do, or as Brian does, and, you know, other, like, diehard fans. Or just me. I don't know.
I kind of know what's going on. It's still confusing.
Well, you know, I really enjoy them, and I'm glad they're trying to make it accessible. My biggest complaint for this film is that, like, I feel like one of the things I said, I do remember for sure saying during our first Dune review is that, like, they did the first half, which was, like, the easy part, and then the part two is where things get super strange, and he does get strange, but I really don't think Denny... like wanted to lean into all the high strangeness because I think he's scared. He's gonna scare people away.
He definitely did it. Well, it's not. It would scare people away. 100% would.
Like a toddler killing Baron Halkonnen.
Like they didn't even show. I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but they didn't even show navigators. We're not 100% sure if there's even navigators that they showed or not.
I'm hoping we haven't seen a true guild navigator yet, honestly, because the first film showed the navigators guild and they were in a full suit with like a big dome and you couldn't even see their faces. They were just,
they kind of just looked like the suited up Harkonnens.
But it was a clear visor and it was just spice all inside that helmet, which guild navigators are completely encased within spice. They can't like breathe normal air because they're like so addicted to it. They can't really, they're containers. I'm hoping that they are initiate guild navigators and they're not full. Like this is like the middle step to becoming a full guild navigator. They're able to still walk around and because they get really weird. Really weird when they're a full navigator. So I'm really hoping that he will give us a full navigator in Dune Part 3, which he has said he's currently writing. So fingers crossed we get an actual navigator, because in the book there's a big conversation between Paul and a navigator while they're watching some face dancers. Ryan, tell us about face dancers.
What?
Face dancers, they're enhanced humans who can basically change the way they look. They're shapeshifters. There's one that looks like Chani and one that can like look like Paul. And there's one who's basically like the bad guy of the second book or the third movie. The face dancer, so he can look like anybody. Pretty cool.
Well, I hope they... That would be cool if they show that. Yeah, that was really the weirdest thing in these movies, I think, are the sandworms. Everything else is kind of just like a human.
Well, I think the weirdest thing is Jessica talking to her daughter, who is a fetus.
Okay. The whole Bene Gesserit thing is weird. Everything they do is kind
of
weird.
I love the Bene Gesserits. The Bene Gesserits were probably some of my favorite parts of this film. Like their whole scheming and plotting and everything going down.
It is always cool to see, like, anytime any of them are on screen, any of the Bene Gesserit, they always have like a sense of like power, you know, like they always seem like they're not scared of anything. They can kind of just like, you're not going to do anything to me. And they just kind of like walk all over people. That's always my favorite part about seeing the Bene Gesserit. But I don't know. One of my favorite parts of the movie was, because I always like to talk about that, is at the end when, it's in the book too, when Paul tells the leader Bene Gesserit lady that I don't know her name, where he tells her to, like, silent. I thought that was a cool scene.
Helen?
Well, you don't know the main Bene Gesserit lady?
The Bene Gesserit lady,
it's like the old one that put Paul's hand in the box.
Put Paul's hand in the box. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Silence! Yeah.
How'd you feel about the Harkonnen planet? I thought that was so cool.
Oh.
There's been nothing like that before.
Yeah, and I sent you a video about a month before the film actually came out where they said they filmed a lot of the stuff on the Harkonnen planet in infrared. Which I thought was really fascinating that they would do something like that, where they shot, which has got that really stark black and white look, because it's different than your standard black and white. It looked absolutely fantastic. I'm excited to see more of Gidi. I don't know if we're going to see more, but it was really cool.
I wouldn't get your hopes up that we're going to.
I don't think they show Gidi. It's not really a player in the second book. But it was
are all the other houses like weird like that? It seems like so far like the Atreides and you know Fremen, they're all very distinct and very different. I guess the Harkonnen are definitely the most different, but
well, we just get more House Carino in book 2 and 3. Carino is the house of the Emperor, because they're trying to get power back after Paul seizes power.
Yeah. How did you feel about Chani in this movie?
I mean, they definitely inflated her part, because in the book she's like, I love Paul, and that was like basically the extent of her character. So they gave her a lot more character.
I felt like she was just mad the whole time.
Yeah, But I don't know if that's just like Zendaya.
She's not. I think the only other thing I've ever seen her in is Spider-Man. I don't think she was mad in Spider-Man.
No, but I don't know. I don't think she's a bad actress, but I just don't think she's on the level of like everyone else in the film.
Well, see, now that's what I've seen criticisms about this movie is that the acting chops on everybody isn't the greatest.
Really?
Especially Paul. When I see people talk about the weaknesses of the movie, it's always like Paul.
Really? I thought he did great going from...
I thought he did too, but then I started reading reviews, I was like, maybe I'm wrong.
I thought he was great going from timid boy to like just like authoritarian crazy man. Like I thought he did fantastic.
Yeah, especially when he was in like the Fremen cave thing and he just is like, he gets up, he's like, listen to me! I am your leader!
Yeah. Oh, and Stilgar was fantastic. I loved Stilgar. Probably... my favorite character.
He was one of my favorites of the movie. The book too, but out of the movie, every time he would say anything, he's like, we must listen. He always said the same thing. I don't know, I'm Galib or whatever the heck. He's Al Galib. You've been sending me those memes. He's fucked. We must listen.
Yeah. I mean, I love Stilgar in the books also. He's probably one of my favorite characters. Like, him and Duncan Idaho are some of my favorite characters in the books. So,
well, Duncan Idaho is going to be everybody's favorite.
Well, the one thing, I really liked that Jason Momoa's casting as Duncan Idaho, but after, this was before I read books 2 and 3 of Dune. Remember Thufir Hawat, the Mentat? You know, the Mentats are the human computers.
He's not in this movie.
He's not in this movie, but in...
I don't remember him dying. He didn't die, did he?
I don't remember him dying in the book either.
I thought that he was going to be in this.
He doesn't really, like, play...
He was in a flashback.
He doesn't really play any part in the books going forward, so I think they just killed him off screen
They just don't need him.
Yeah, they didn't super need him. But Duncan Idaho... when they clone him and bring him back in the next book, or in the movie part 3, he is a Mentat. And that's the one thing I'm going to have a hard time wrapping my head around Jason Momoa being a human computer. I like Jason Momoa. He's a good actor, but like, he doesn't...
He's not that kind of actor.
He doesn't...
He's typecasted into this like bro strong guy. He's not like a...
the super smart analytical type. He's not that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches that. And in the book, he's got metal eyes. I don't know if they're going to go that far in the film.
They're just going to take his eyes out in real life and just replace them.
Well, no, I just don't know if they're going to like bother CGing over his eyes like the entire film.
Well, they do it with the Fremen.
Well, they do, but also with the Fremen, it seems like it's to a lesser extent. Like the blue and blue of the eyes seems to waver a bit.
Yeah.
Between people. It does. And I think the best scene where it happened is when Jessica takes the water of life and...
oh, that really, her eyes really go blue.
Blue. They just go instant blue whenever she wakes up from drinking the water of life. It's like the blue in the eyes means you're a spice addict. So she took the water of life, which is concentrated spice. Instantly spice addict. Changed her eyes. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a creative decision though. I'm sure they were sitting in the room looking at like how deep blue should we make everybody's eyes. And they probably decided depending on the scene is how dark or bright they're going to make somebody's eyes.
Because there's some scenes where like Chani, like, it didn't seem like her eyes were blue at all.
Her eyes were blue at all. This is like a very small tint. That's what I thought that like 3 times during the movie. And I saw it. That was the first time I didn't think that. The second time I did.
So it's not just me because I feel like I kept looking at Chani because Chani's had a lot of screen time because she's an important character for the film because they're trying to give her more character in this film.
Yeah.
So seeing her and like and just a couple times, I'm like, are her eyes even blue now? Like, it's like, did they make a mistake?
One of the first times we see Chani on screen, she has like bluish eyes. And I noticed it. I was like, oh, that doesn't seem as blue. as I would, like, I feel like it should be. So then later in the movie, when they tell Paul, like, hey, go walk over here and then come back. Here's a tent, you know, go out and, you know, we got to prove yourself. When he's going to do that, Chani, like, follows him into the sand because she was like, he's going to die. During that scene when he's teaching him how to do, like, the sand walk thing where you, like, you know, do your, the like, foot thing where you, like, make it so you don't call the sandworms at all. I noticed during that scene, that's where I first thought about it, where it was like, Chani doesn't have, like, any blue in her eyes at all. There was, like, almost nothing in her eyes. That's when I started noticing it.
Yeah.
Jessica definitely had the bluest eyes.
Oh, because it was a stark difference from no blue to her eyes to just, like, boom, addicted to the water of life.
Cyclops eyes.
That was fantastic. And so many scenes were just straight out of the book. Like, you know, the Reverend Mother about to die, so she's got to take it over. It was kind of cool seeing the death still where they just kind of, like, plugged the person up and just sucked all their water out. I mean, I was always wondering how they're going to talk about it. They talk about the death stills a lot. And it was
kind
of neat to actually get to see it happen.
There is one scene in the book that I thought for sure they were going to show in the movie. It would have been, I think it was towards the latter half of the movie where Paul goes to, like, a party where there, like, a bunch of important people from, like, throughout the, I don't know, universe or whatever are all there. And that's where Paul gets, like, a lesson of how to, like, deal with, like, social situations. Like, how to, like, you know, you got to marry this person so you have kids with this person so you can remain in power.
That's early in the first book.
That's early?
Yeah, that's before Leto dies.
Oh, I thought that was towards the end of the book.
No.
It feels like in this movie, I felt like nobody, like, taught him, like, why he needs to do what he's doing, but I guess he was trained when he was growing up.
Well,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. As soon as he took the water of life makes him the Quetzalcoatl. He awakens all of the memories of his past. So women, the Bene Gesserits, they can awaken and access all the memory of the women in their bloodline, the past. Uh-huh. And I guess, like, Jessica's able to get the memory of the Reverend Mother because she's there with her, and there's a psychic bond all between Bene Gesserits. She can download the mind. That's how the Reverend Mother of the Fremen realizes she's pregnant, because there is that psychic bond that is going through while Jessica is taking the life. But a male Quetzalcoatl, male Bene Gesserit, will be able to access both the female and male ancestors. So, I mean, like, everything Paul needs to know, he knows due to the water of life. And that's one thing I wish they would have leaned on harder in the film, because they really didn't, like, go into as much. Like, he talks about, like, he can see things, and it's like it's a narrow path to, you know, success in this, you know, dire situation, but they don't, like, dive into as much of, like, what it means that he's the Quetzalcoatl. And I'm guessing they'll have to dive
into that. They don't tell you at all.
No, they don't really tell you. I mean, like, I know because I've read the books and, like, you know, and I'm guessing it's going to grow into it, into the next movie, and they'll talk about it more. Because, I mean, that's a huge part of it, because him knowing the future is a trap.
Well,
it's, you know, because he basically, once he picks a path, he can't really deviate from it. He's just gotta keep happening. And that's why it gets interesting in book three, Children of Dune, when you've got, like, his son, who's also a Quetzalcoatl, and him, and they're both like, we got to get on the same path, the golden path, the important path, the one to save humanity.
We'll never get that movie. You'll never get that movie.
The one I really want is God Emperor of Dune, because I want half worm man who's in love with a woman.
Is that four? Is that book four?
God Emperor
of Dune. You're definitely not getting that. You're getting further and further from the truth, man. You're getting book two, and then that's it.
No, I really want book four. Book four is, like, my favorite Dune book because it's so weird. It's like,
what is?
I think Denis Villeneuve is too scared to do the full weirdness, and that's
well, he wants to keep it, like, you know, so a normal audience can go see it. Like, what? I don't know. Like, I don't, you want this like super weird thing, but you get this super weird thing. They're not making another movie if you get that. So coming. You're going to get one movie and then that's it.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping he made the first two parts normal so he can go super weird the next
one. He's not going to do that. It's going to ruin his reputation. He can't just make this super weird movie. Nobody's going to go see it. Nobody will like it. It's not normal to like that kind of stuff.
I mean, the Dune series is, or at least the first book is, you know, one of the most respected sci-fi novels of all time.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the books are kind of like, okay, man. They're not like 10 out of 10s or anything. I think the movies are better than the book. That's what I'm standing with.
Well, the movies are easier to digest than the book.
Yeah, the books are hard to understand. It's like reading like the Bible backwards. It, like doesn't it doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes.
Well, the problem with the books is Frank Herbert evolves as an author, and I think part of the reason I also
because like drugs start getting to him, he evolves into like a sandworm hybrid.
Well, I think he becomes able to write his weird stuff. While he's high, better as he goes on, because book four is so weird, but his writing has also gotten much better.
Well, I mean,
and also
to be fair,
a woman orgasms from watching Duncan Idaho climb a wall.
Well, you know,
it's a really steep cliff wall. It's really high, and when he gets to the top,
won't happen either.
she gets all hot and bothered and just like from watching.
Well,
Duncan
the first
Idaho climb.
The first book is definitely. I would give him like a pass kind of on the first book for it being bad because it was like split up a whole bunch.
Well,
it was like, wasn't it part of a magazine?
For sci-fi, he wrote it in chunks for a magazine. Then it was later,
yeah,
you know, condensed and put into a, you know, like,
yeah. A novel. So it wasn't really designed for just like a one kind of book. It was kind of forced into a book form.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's also why the writing's weird because he wrote for different medium than like a novel, and then like when he started writing novels, I think his writing got better, and you know he had more practice by book four. I really like book four. I'm kind of good for now, but I do kind of want to get into five and six eventually.
Are you gonna read all of them? Are you gonna become one of those people? One day I'm going to meet somebody who has read all the Dune books, and I just want to know, like, high level, like, what is your thoughts on Dune overall? They must like it, but it's like, do they really like it, or are they just like...
They must hate it if they've read every single Dune book.
There's a lot of them. And there's like, a lot of them.
And there's so many tiers of, like, the Dune fan. Like, there's, like, some people stop at book one, some people stop at book two, some people stop at book three, some people stop at book four, which is where I currently am.
A lot of people don't even make it to book four because the first three is Paul. And then, well, it's, I mean, you know, yeah. You know what I mean when I say that. But, like, it's after that, then it kind of, I hear it just kind of, like, goes off the rail. It goes off the rails, and then it just gets weirder and weirder. I don't know. I haven't read all, like, 30 books. I don't even know how you make 30 books about Dune, but apparently somebody has figured it out.
Frank Herbert's son. Because
they're still making them. And, yeah. And his son just came out with another one like last year. He's still going. I don't know what he's writing about, but it's still going.
It's weird. So many Dune fans that I see, at least that I see online, they really hate all of Frank Herbert's sons and Kevin J. Anderson's books. So it's weird, like they keep, like there's a lot of hate for them online, but I mean apparently they're selling because
nobody's buying them.
They keep making them, so there's got to be more coming. I mean people have got to be buying if they keep writing them, I would assume, otherwise
that's
why would they keep
how that would work. What did you think about I don't know, you'll say his name and I'll know it, but what do you think about Batista, like
Raban? Beast Raban.
How do you think he did in this movie? I didn't like him. I watched an interview with him where he's like, I felt like this movie really brought out my acting. It was like all he did was like scream in this movie and that's it. He didn't do anything. I want to see more of him. He felt like a threat in the first movie. This one he kind of felt like a bumbling fool.
Well, he's not a bumbling. He's just, you know, he puts his life ahead of everything else. You know, he'll beat up people that he know he can beat up, but like he is scared of the Maudib, and I liked his acting. I thought he was solid. The only person I thought maybe was a little bit not as great as I was hoping was Christopher Walken. And he didn't have a lot to do.
Well, even in the book, he doesn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, but I was really hoping there'd be more. But I think he was also the thing I was looking forward to most in the movie is seeing Christopher Walken in Dune.
He even had the voice thing, like the Christopher Walken like voice thing. I thought that was like an act thing. Is that really just how he talks?
That's just how he talks.
Yeah, no. I thought that was an acting thing.
I love Christopher Walken. I really wish he had more to do in this film. And like he just, I don't know, he seemed confused about being on set. I don't know. It was a little weird.
I mean, he is an older gentleman at this point.
Yeah, but I really like Christopher. I don't think he was bad. I think it would have liked him more.
I was excited to see him too, but I was kind of let down. He's like the emperor, man. He's the emperor of everything. He did not give that presence.
There was no opulence. There was no like just gold and just the lavishness you'd think from the emperor of the known universe. You know,
not even the way he was dressing, just like the energy he was putting off. He just felt like a guy that was just like, somehow I became the emperor and now people listen to me, I guess.
Yeah, it was very strange. But Florence Pugh as Princess Irulan was great. I loved all the like the retro looking stuff. Like she was like scribing onto like an old school cylinder record, kind of like her information. Yeah. I'm like, that's so like awesome. And then like the thing the emperor received, the note, it was on like the also like a very so like old school, like it was really cool stuff. I really loved. The whole film is a visual feast. Like special effects are amazing.
Besides Avatar, there's nothing like this.
Yeah, the movie is just like watching a surreal painting come to life. Especially the Harkonnen stuff. All the Harkonnen stuff is so weird. Their sand crawl. I mean, their spice harvesters are just bizarre looking. Their fireworks are like globules instead of like spark. It was absolutely, everything was bizarre and beautiful.
I love that there's a real difference between, they didn't like the sand harvesters that like the Atreides have versus the Harkonnens. They're like very different, like the way they look. It's like you could really tell like when something was a Harkonnen thing versus, you know, not a Harkonnen thing or an Atreides thing and not Atreides thing. I like that there's a big difference between the two in terms of style, because you can tell immediately kind of like, oh, that's that, and that's where I get confused, so I appreciate that. I'm sure that took a lot of time to do, because these VFX in these movies are insane. Even the sandworms, they look real.
Sandworms were great. They had new kinds of ornithopters, which was pretty cool too. I was happy to see new ornithopters. They were looking, the whole movie would look great. The Florence Pugh's, all of her costumes were like crazy looking and cool. Like, yep. She looked like she was more the person in power than the emperors, just by the way they dressed.
Yeah, I know, right?
A diversion from the book is that the Bene Gesserit decided to destroy the house Atreides. Or in the books, it was definitely the emperor. But I mean, like, it does make sense that it's the Bene Gesserit, because they are kind of like the force behind everything. Like, you know, the emperor, like, in the house, like, they think they're in control. But the Bene Gesserit have their hands in everything. Like, they're everywhere. Know, they went to Fade Rautha and they, like, secured his seed so that they could, like, still, like, try to breed their own.
He can be sexually manipulated.
Oh, man. I really hope that Bene Gesserit, so that the Max is making, is going to be good.
I didn't even know there was one coming out. I guess for anybody listening that didn't know, they're going to make a Bene Gesserit show. I didn't know that was even a thing, and I'm kind of in this world, so I can't imagine everybody knows that that's happening.
I
don't know when.
I mean, like I said earlier, the Bene Gesserit were probably one of my favorite things about this movie. So the fact that we're getting a Bene Gesserit show is just, that's really exciting to me. I really, hold on.
It's a prequel.
Sure. I mean, 90% of the Dune books that DeBrian and Herbert and Kevin Anderson wrote are prequels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a prequel to Denis Villeneuve's Dune. It's not like from the books or anything. It's based on his.
So well, that's good. I'm excited to see how all that's gonna.
Hopefully, it'll look as good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they're gonna have to do as much stuff because they're dealing with Bene Gesserit stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Cool costumes then.
But I mean, you know, at least they can just use the. They can at least hopefully just reuse the assets because they've made the assets for the Bene Gesserit ships because we saw it in the first movie.
And I like that Lady Jessica when. I mean, my bad for cutting you off. I got excited. But at the beginning of the movie, Lady Jessica was just kind of like wearing the water retention suit. And it was kind of, and then the next time you saw her, she was wearing like a fancier dress. Then the next time you saw her, she was wearing a fancier dress. It's like she kept like elevating her like clothing to the point at the end, she was wearing like this giant red hood. I don't know. It felt like she kept leveling up throughout the movie. She felt like she was getting stronger and stronger, which I thought was really cool. Cause it was like her mission from what she's doing. It was like, it's been so clear to her and she's executing on everything. So I liked that she didn't have like, she's just so good at what she does that she didn't have like anybody even like pretty much challenge her. Even like Paul kind of gives her a little bit of a hard time. And that doesn't do anything to her. She's just like, this is what we're doing. I have a one-track mind. I like her. I like Lady Jessica. And she's cool.
She's cool. Yeah, I love the way they did Jessica. I love the way they did Paul, where he doesn't want to, like, embrace his, you know, crazy future. And then, like, just the water of life just flips him on a dime. Where he's got to embrace his future. Otherwise, he's going to die. Although, you know... The one way out of that future would have been, you know, die in the first.
Well, yeah, but
if he wants to not have that future, that would have been to let Jameis kill him at the end. I was surprised they brought him back, and they had Jameis in like some like visions.
Well, I mean, they do what they do, I guess. I don't know.
Well, he's the doctor in Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, so I was like, oh, they brought him back. For a flashback, a vision thing.
The Star Trek finds its way into everything.
I can make... Oh, Dune found its way into many of our shows in the past, so you know.
That's true. What do you think of all the fight scenes? Like, there's the one on Getty Prime. Then there's the one at the end with Paul. I thought those were, like, super well choreographed. Also, that, like, dude that I don't know what... It's just a random guy that fights Fade Rotha.
The one that wasn't drugged?
Yeah, the one that wasn't drugged?
Yeah.
Man, where'd that dude come from? He was strong. He was very good. He almost killed Faith Rotha. He probably would have if those like little scarecrow people didn't like stab him in the back.
Oh yeah, the crazy or, like
interference.
Crescent moon head people. Yeah, those were bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were also really cool.
Hmm. I really liked those. I thought the movie was super well done, you know, beginning to end. My only complaints are nitpicky complaints that I wish it was more weird and more Dune-y. I wish they would have had Aaliyah being born. Speaking of Aaliyah, it's crazy that they cast Anya Taylor-Joy to play Aaliyah, and she was in the movie for less than a minute. She was in the movie, like she was in the Furiosa trailer for like 100 times longer than she was in this entire film.
Well, they're like leading up to her.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you know what's going on, they literally do not explain it. Can you, like, I read the book and I'm still confused. So I watched the movie and I'm like less confused. Somebody who hasn't read the book, man, they must have just saw them. They're like, why is she here? What am I looking at? They don't explain it at all. It's just like a random scene. She's just there.
Oh, it's just
it's
a vision. She's explaining to him that Baron Harkonnen is grandfather, which is weird because like Paul started to realize this technically in part one. Like I thought that would have been a crazy thing.
Pretty early. It wasn't a secret in the book. It wasn't a secret that
it wasn't widely known either.
Well, no, but I'm talking about for like the audience. Like the people reading the book or watching the movie, that was finding out that like Lady Jessica and the connection to the Harkonnens and all that. That wasn't a secret in the book. It was kind of just like Frank Herbert just kind of told us that what in the first like 50 pages or something like that? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but it was a secret to Paul until halfway through when he started having spice and started becoming prescient. Thank you, Klingon Pop Warrior, again for rating us this time. We're discussing Dune Part 2, full spoilers and whatnot. So if
Namaste.
Just so you know, we're full on Dune Part 2 today.
If you are here more than 5 minutes and have any interest in Dune, you have better participated in all Dune things.
But, all right. Well, you have a good time at work. I hope it goes all right. Thank you for bringing in the party.
Thank you for stopping by. It was a pleasure seeing you.
We appreciate it.
I don't remember what we were talking about. Talking about that Dune thing, right?
That Dune thing, yeah. Dune part.
So, yeah, not telling the audience that Lady Jessica and Paul and all that connected to Harkonnens. I wish they would have done that in the first movie.
I wish they would have done that in the first movie too. I thought that would have been a great cliffhanger type situation that, like, you know, he reveals it or he kind of figures. I think in the book he just like figures it out.
He does. He just figures it out. He was a vision.
Yeah. He. So like I guess he has the vision in part two where he figures it out. Aaliyah tells him the vision, but I was really hoping that that would have been like a cliffhanger, because it'd be like the whole Luke, I am your father thing, or no, I am your father. It would have been like, what? Like, you know, then, you know, you've got the year of like, is going on with that?
Well, it was never going to be exactly like that. Paul was never going to be as surprised as Luke was.
Well, no, it's not the surprise for Luke. It's a surprise for the audience, for the people who don't know.
Luke is the audience.
Yeah. Yes.
Luke's the audience.
That's what I was kind of hoping, that we'd get that audience, for the people who don't know Dune, we'd have like the surprise for the audience. That would have been fun, I think, for the people who didn't. The fact that it was revealed so late in this film is kind of odd, especially since it's in the book it happens the first half.
Yeah, I mean, not. I think it's literally like the first 50 pages.
No, they might have told you, but Paul doesn't know until they're in the desert.
No, I'm talking about audience. I'm talking about audience only. I'm pretty sure it's like, it might, man, I feel like it might even be the first 10 pages.
I don't recall when the audience knows in the book. I remember when Paul knows, right before they meet the Fremen.
Speaking of the Baron, I did think it was funny. It's kind of the same, but when Paul just goes to like see the Emperor, and he just like, there's like 100 people in this room with the Emperor, and Paul just like beelines it right to the Baron and just like stabs him. Nobody questions anything. He just walks by everybody. The Fremen are attacking the like settlement with all these people, and they just let Paul walk into the room, stab the Baron, and then just leave. Well, I thought that was funny. Like, he didn't get any resistance at all.
Yeah, it was interesting. But in the book, you know, it's Aaliyah that kills the Baron with the gum jar.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Which is a little bit sad, but I mean, I guess if they're not going to go into book three, it makes sense why they're not doing that. Because in book three, Aaliyah becomes possessed by the past memories of Baron Harkonnen. And so she basically is Baron Harkonnen in an Aaliyah body, book three. So she basically turns evil. Sucks, but
it is what it is. It's Dune. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's supposed to not make sense.
Yeah, and there's that connection between her killing him and then possesses her afterwards, which is interesting. But if they're not going to go that far, it makes sense them having Paul be the one to kill him. And then he also stabs him in the neck and he's like, I'm going to kill you like an animal, grandfather, or whatever. Which is it's still a reference to the Gumji bar. It's like, you know, this one kills only animals. Pull away, we'll kill you. You have to control yourself and your pain. Live. Not being able. So, I mean, it is still a reference to the Gumji bar. It was well done. In the original,
it was tasteful.
In the 1984 film, just the 3-year-old killing him is just like this whole slapstick scene. It's funny, and it really shouldn't be. And I think he was trying to avoid anything being funny. So it makes just sense. Just Paul, bop, 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 stab in the neck. With the tooth of Shai Hulud.
I mean, even the dagger that Paul gets, like, I think it shouldn't have been this. It bothers me a little bit that Paul doesn't seem as affected as he should have been. He got stabbed by like a dagger that's like this big, and he's just like, "I'm fine." Like, dude, that would kill you so fast if you got stabbed with a dagger that's like 75% of your width.
That's the one problem with casting Timothy Chalamet. He's such a small little boy, and to get stabbed with something that big, yeah, it does take you out of it a little bit, maybe.
I thought we knew that we're only getting one more movie. I thought they were gonna like kind of change it up a little bit from the book, because when I saw him get stabbed by that, I was like, that's gotta have some lasting effects there. But it seemed like he gets stabbed, it's like, and nothing like really happened. That would immediately like just like kill you. That would
not necessarily. People have survived stab wounds, and it's
that's not a normal stab wound. He got stabbed by like a sword.
Well, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts dealing with true crime and stuff like that. It is surprising how many stab wounds you can survive, or how many stab wounds it takes to kill you.
Sure. Yes, but a stab wound is not normally as big as your forearm.
Okay, sure. Anyway, as you can tell, we both love Dune. We both gave it a 9.
Do you recommend it, David?
Oh, absolutely. Recommend Dune? Absolutely recommend Dune. I also recommend reading the first 4 books.
Even though you haven't read the 4th one yet? I recommend reading the first one.
I read the 4th one.
Oh, you read the 4th? I thought you read the first 3.
That's why I want everyone to... That's why I want the fourth book to be made into a movie. This is one of my favorite. God. It's my favorite Dune book.
I don't think that'll ever happen. I don't think you're ever going to get 4, man.
Oh,
I don't think you're going to get 3.
I mean the sci-fi miniseries is the closest we ever got to 3, because Children of Dune kind of combined Dune Messiah and Children of Dune into one. But
Denis Villeneuve, if you're listening. David wants more movies.
I want more Dune, Denny. I love these keep films. Going. These are some of your best films. This is beautiful work. I love it. So please keep on going on with the Dune.
I don't know. Oh, I think the quote, it was not obviously direct quote, but it was something like he was either undecided if he was going to continue making any Dune movies after this third one, or he was completely done. He wasn't sure. It's going to depend on, you know, what projects he takes next and if he wants to come back or not. So it sounds like he's just not sure.
I mean, there's also a time jump. So, I mean, he could take some time in between the
things. It could be 10 years from now. He might not make another one for 10 years.
That would be...
Because, he wants to make a couple other movies. He's been in this Dune world for so long. He's really has taken the spice. He's been doing Dune for 10 years. He's one of the navigators. He is the navigator. Oh my gosh, it's all for a circle. He's going to be a navigator in the next movie. It's going to be him.
He'll just be the navigator in the next
movie. That would be a weird way to do it. Like, in the book, there's like these like worm-looking human things that are the navigators.
Giant heads.
Yeah, it should just be him. Like, no costume, just wearing like directing clothes, and he's just standing there. Oh man, that would
totally take me out of it.
But yeah, go see Dune.
Go see Dune. 100% recommend.
I saw it twice.
Brian saw it. Was it any better the second time?
It was the same as the first. Very good.
Very good film. Either way, the first time or the second time. All right.
Go see it again.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in and listening. Until next time, we've been David and Brian.
Email David at thehulks@yahoo.com. Right. Do it.
Until next time, guys. We'll see you.